Dozens of Wisconsin counties have sued four of the nation and the world's largest pharmaceutical manufacturers. Why is that? Let's ask leaders of Wisconsin counties. To my left is Lance Plimmel, chair of the Wood County Board of Supervisors, and Colleen Bates is first vice chair of the Eau Claire County Board, and Mark O'Connell is executive director of the Wisconsin Counties Association. These lawsuits sounds like something you might have had a key role in. Mr. O'Connell, why are Wisconsin counties suing?
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. I mean, because our pharmaceutical companies are often thought of as the companies that create some of the, solutions to the ills of humanity. Yet, in the case of opioids, and as counties, we have incurred tremendous costs related to opioids. We believe that the manufacturers purposely withheld information regarding the addictive nature of opioids. What that resulted in is doctors and hospitals and other medical professionals prescribing opioids and people becoming addicted. And as a result of that addiction, we as counties have incurred costs. So we're asking that two things occur in the lawsuits. One, that the opioid manufacturers reveal the addictive nature of opioids and have that data available to our medical community so we can properly prescribe opioids in a proper manner and have them properly consumed, and secondly, that we be recognized for the costs that we have previously incurred as a result of the pharmaceutical manufacturers, what I would call misbehavior.
Mark, a quick follow-up but before I ask Lance and Colleen about their specific costs to their counties. Mm-hmm. How many Wisconsin counties have sued? Is it part of a national trend?
It is a national trend. It is not universal, every state and every county, but in our case, we have 48 individual lawsuits that have been filed as of today. I expect we will have a dozen or more in addition filing. Now, there are other states, for example, our friends in Arkansas. The vast majority of counties in Arkansas have sued. Many New York counties have sued. There are counties in the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida contemplating. There are some Texas counties that have sued. It's been all across the country. Right now, as of today, there are hundreds of suits, individual suits, filed. And I expect, quite frankly, hundreds more, Steve.
Mark, I'm glad you had Lance and Colleen join us, because let's talk about specific costs to your counties as a result of the epidemic of opioid and heroin. Who wants to go first? It doesn't matter.
Up to you. Well, I can start if you want me to,
sure.
Colleen.
Thank you.
You know, we have organizational costs. You know, the cost that we have in additional staff that we've had to have to take care of these problems. We have capital costs involved as we need additional facilities. And then we have the societal cost. And directly where we've seen those happen is in our human services departments, budgets there, in our court system. Right now we have one district attorney, three assistant district attorneys. The state says we should have nine. And based on the caseload and how that's burgeoning, probably headed that direction. Our jail had a stable population for probably the last 10 years, and all of a sudden we're not sure where we're going to house them, and we thought we were generationally set in that respect. Cost of the coroner's office, just the cost of some of the autopsies and the toxicology reports have been phenomenal in the numbers that have all of a sudden popped up over the last couple of years. And so we're not exactly sure how we handle this going forward, but in all of those, law enforcement, like I said, the courts, it's a huge cost. We're not sure where we're going to go, and we need some help. And to Mark's point, if you're part of the problem, if you help create that problem, we're looking for some relief in that respect, because we don't not only have the direct costs, but we have those costs going forward that are pretty tough to ascertain.
Colleen, has your county actually been able to calculate specific costs as a result of these epidemics?
Not really. And obviously at this point in time, since this is a rather new suit, we really haven't taken the time to go back. But like Lance, for the first time, we just built a new jail about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're putting prisoners out of county right now for the first time. We also have four treatment courts. So we're trying to divert as much as we can.
Four treatment courts.
And we're thinking right now, of course, is that basically our biggest issue is that we're not really getting any help from the individuals that are in the medical profession. Addiction isn't really recognized as a medical phenomenon yet. And unfortunately, that we become it. So if we're going to be it, we have to be the best it that we can, because the costs aren't just in the jail and in all of the other ramifications there. The costs are also community. We've had the highest number of suicides that we have ever had in Eau Claire County this last year. Up until September of last year, there were 28. Many of those individuals were individuals that indeed had issues with drugs. And this is not an illicit drug. It's not illegal. It is a drug that basically was misrepresented by the individuals who promoted it in the medical profession. And as a result, it was given to people with the notion it was going to be safe. The long-term effects were not supposed to be addictive. Well, that turned out not to be true. And so all the way along the line, we find that there are additional costs. And the cost to families is huge. I mean, when I look at our foster care and the fact that we have great difficulty finding enough homes to put children in, and then the ramifications of that family tie being broken, and that child being the side casualty, if you will, of the issue. That's another one of it. The cost police, the cost in the court system, the cost treatment court, the cost for even in our insurance, all of those costs. Medicaid costs up. So obviously, what does that mean? It all really comes back to county. And in that process, that means we're taking away from other services to be able to meet those costs.
You know, Steve, you had asked about costs.
Yeah.
It's a little preliminary to talk about the actual costs. We haven't yet determined that.
What's the process that's going to be that you hope is going to sort out?
It's a good question.
Tease out the costs. Excuse me for that.
Yeah, the process is, well, hundreds of counties have filed suit.
Yeah.
The legal system has consolidated those lawsuits in the Northern District of Ohio, Federal District, Northern District of Ohio, jurisdiction.
Consolidated and not made them class action?
Not made them class action, okay. But consolidated them. So they'll all be heard in the Northern District of Ohio's jurisdiction. Second, once all of the suits, or there is a date certain by which suits are going to be, you know, the system essentially says, if you haven't filed suit by now, that's the end of it. We're going to address all of these suits. Mm-hmm. There will be a stage in the process, and it will follow legal proceedings and guidance of attorneys. Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, we will have to ascertain what we think our costs are. And at that point, we will hire experts in the arena of determining what these costs are. We will not likely go into every county, but we will be asking every county for data so we can make a reasonable estimate, and reasonable, accurate estimate of what costs the county has incurred, and then we'll have conversations with the court system or with the manufacturers themselves.
Well, does that mean that at some point the Eau Claire County Jail and the Wood County Jail will be asked to calculate the cost of heroin and opioid epidemics in any specific year? Are you going to be able to get it that fine?
I'm not sure that we will be asking to review every case. But rather, we may well look at reasonable guidelines for the and apply them to the number of cases where legalized opioids were involved, which resulted in costs to the county.
Colleen and Lance, do you think you'll be able to come up with those specific costs?
To some extent, I do. The hard costs are probably, you know, much easier to calculate. I think we can put our finger on those with a little bit of work. The societal cost is a little bit tougher. You know, we happen to be in an area in kind of north central Wisconsin where, with the Marshfield Clinic and the size of that facility, we're pretty close to Toma and the Veterans Home. You know, we've seen that start as prescribed opiates, and then we've seen that develop into heroin use and some of the other costs that are a little tougher to put your hands on. But my concern not only is the cost that we've incurred so far, but the cost that we're going to incur in the future. You know, we're dealing with Child Protective Services, all those families that are involved, and we care for them in every way that counties care for people who have fallen on hard times. So it's not going to be easy, but to Mark's point, I think we'll certainly be able to put something together going forward.
Colleen, when a taxpayer comes up and says, why are you spending tax dollars on this lawsuit, how do you answer?
I think primarily because there isn't any real other option. Where would we go? I think the responsibility has to go back to a causal effect. And that means that basically somebody has to be responsible for the misinformation that was given to individuals that began this process.
Let me clarify, though, Steve. There are no taxpayer dollars.
That's important.
Being spent on this lawsuit.
Say it again. No taxpayer dollars.
Zero taxpayer dollars. Zero government dollars being spent on this lawsuit. There are hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent addressing the issue as a result, we allege, of the behavior of the pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Okay.
Now, the agreement that we have reached as counties, and it's no secret at all, the law firms, and there are three high-quality law firms, Simmons Hanley out of Southern Illinois and New York, Kruger Dickinson out of Milwaukee, and Von Briesen Roper out of Madison, mm-hmm. Madison and Milwaukee. These three firms have gotten together and will represent our collective interests as Wisconsin counties, along with counties all across the country. They will receive 25% of whatever settlement there is, if there is one.
If there
is
a settlement.
Big if.
I understand.
Court settlement or otherwise, plus miscellaneous costs. So the taxpayers, the element that the taxpayers care about is if there is a settlement, that is relief to the taxpayers, not a cost.
Okay. Yeah. So the attorneys would get 25% plus their
some minor costs.
Plus their research costs, correct?
Yes. And expert witness costs and costs to determine the actual damages, things like that.
Then, Mark, as a representative of all counties, is there no risk to Wisconsin counties in filing these lawsuits?
I believe there is essentially zero risk in filing this lawsuit. We will have some minor work to do when we work with experts to determine our actual costs.
Yes.
But number one, citizens, actual human beings. Secondarily, counties are the victims. We are the ones that have been damaged. Individuals that thought they were taking a legal pharmaceutical and that there was no risk of long-term addictive element to it became addicted. As a result, they've engaged in behavior which resulted in costs to the county. Those are damages and victims. Now, at the same time, I want to be very, very clear about this, Steve. The pharmaceutical companies they do a lot of very, very good things, and we want them to do good things. The pharmaceutical companies are going to be critically important as we address Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and cancer. We want them to do that. But in this particular case, we believe that they have not engaged in behavior consistent with law.
There's so many different players in this epidemic. There are the patients who seek their physicians. There's a pharmacist. Tragically, there are gangs that are illegally selling these drugs. Why sue just Big Pharma?
That's a great question. Some have asked, well, why not sue the doctors that prescribed? Well, what we are alleging is that the data that pharmaceutical manufacturers, we believe, possessed was not revealed to the medical professionals, so there isn't any possible way they could have acted any other way than by prescribing what they've prescribed. However, had they known the addictive nature of opioids, had the pharmaceutical companies revealed that data, our medical professionals would have acted in a different manner.
Well, the heroin epidemic, the opioid epidemic, not only affects you counties, but city police departments and city fire departments and hospitals. So have other government entities joined in these lawsuits, or is it just purely nationally counties?
No, some others have joined, not in Wisconsin yet, but they are welcome to. We would welcome anyone who believes that they have been disaffected by the behavior of the pharmaceutical manufacturers to give us a ring, and we'd be happy to chat with them about the process.
County board members, what services are being cheated as your counties have to pay the price of the heroin and opioid epidemic? What services are losing? Colleen, you want to go first?
If I were to look at really where we notice the difference, if I look at our roads even, you know, ordinarily we would be contributing more on a local level to maybe upgrade everything, right, straight across the board. We do performance-based budgeting, and that tells that whenever we have to cut, we cut from that particular part of our budget that is prioritized to the less degree.
Mm-hmm.
So the usual thing, just like when they showed the number of where the distribution of the money has gone as far as the cost factor, the least amount of money is spent on prevention. And that's true right now. We don't even get to prevention. We don't get to prevention because we are so busy taking care of putting out fires. That means that basically the jail costs, the foster care costs, all of those other things have to come first. Prevention isn't something we're doing right now. And it's critical. It's critical. So other things as well throughout every one of our program areas is impacted by whether or not you have funds enough to be able to do what you need to do on a crisis basis.
Lance, do you see the biggest cost in the area of transportation highways or other?
That's certainly services. You know, one of the areas we spend a lot of money in, so it's always impacted, and it's one that you have the ability to play with those budgets a little bit. But as you reallocate, everybody gets hurt to some extent. Yeah. And in most of our counties, at least ours, our human service budget accounts for roughly 40% of the entire budget, about probably 39% of the total employees that we have in the county. So it impacts, you know, everything and everybody. And it just continues to grow. And it's something that it's been very difficult to get our arms around. And, you know, Colleen touched on it, whether it's our adult drug treatment courts, whether it's those costs with employees and the human costs, or whether it's the structural costs as we build additional buildings to be able to handle those.
In Eau Claire County, human services is also a major part of our budget. For the first time ever, we're spending more in the sheriff's department and in law enforcement than we are in human services.
Your county has 4 drug courts. Have you got any?
We have an adult drug treatment court, and we also have a veterans court where we deal with specifically with drug-related issues.
We have the first mental health court in the state of Wisconsin. That's been going for quite a while. We have a court for women with children. Then we have the drug and alcohol court, and we have the vets court.
When I interviewed Attorney General Brad Schimmel, kind of a year-end summary last week, I asked him about the county lawsuits. He said he's working with 41 additional attorneys general, negotiating with Big Pharma to achieve some of these same, and he estimated that your lawsuits, county's lawsuits, could take 8 to 10 years. Are your taxpayers willing to wait 8 to 10 years, supervisors?
Well, we've been waiting longer than that already.
Okay.
And it's... Are we willing to wait 8 to 10 years? We don't. It's not a question
it's
of willing.
It's not a choice.
the system has to take its course, and I know that the 41 attorneys general have talked about they have mechanisms or methods to bring the pharmaceutical companies to the table. I'd like to see what those mechanisms are. I mean, nothing will bring an individual closer or quicker to the table than a lawsuit. So if there are better methods. Now, at the same time, we are fully supportive of the states engaging in the proper course of action and the course of action that they believe is proper. And we're willing to assist them in any way, shape, or form. And I believe the states are willing to assist us in our effort. There may be better ways. There may be multiple ways that when we all work at the same time, we can have a reasonable conversation about how to resolve this matter. Are we willing to wait 8 to 10 years? It doesn't matter if we're willing or not. We have a problem. We believe that someone has acted improperly, inconsistent with law. We want them to act consistently with law, and we want to be compensated for the damages that we've incurred.
Let's assume that it's going to take 8 years for some type of a settlement, assuming a settlement. Right, Mark?
Assuming. Yes, assuming.
Your costs continue to go up.
Yes.
So how do you see the next funding cycle and the future funding pinches? How are you going to deal with that on a county basis, given the restraints on county governments, right? Spending restraints?
Yeah.
That was my answer. You know, with the constraints that we operate under, I don't know where we go next. And that's part of the reason that we have to go this direction. We're between a rock and a hard place. You know, you're kind of up against a wall. And every year, you asked the question earlier, every year we cut service in some area to try to make ends meet because they're, you know, you can't. There's no money tree out there where we go pick dollar bills. And
I want to add a little something
Please.
Different to that. And basically what has really helped us is partnerships. And we are very good at creating partnerships. If it weren't for our nonprofits and some of the community members that are willing to step up to the plate and be a part of looking at this as a very realistic solution, and I think we would have nowhere else to go. But by creating the partnerships, not only with our faith-based organization, but with our cities and with our townships as well, we really have to work together. We really have to work together to make a difference.
Did your resolutions authorizing the lawsuits pass unanimously?
Yes.
Did they?
Ours did.
Ours did also.
Mark, a history lesson. Yeah. Is this effort, these lawsuits, comparable to big tobacco lawsuits that you and I remember going through the Capitol like 15 years ago?
Yeah, it's there's
but the counties didn't sue for big
the
tobacco.
Counties did not sue. There was a good number of similarities, but the states sued. And the states reached a settlement with the tobacco companies. At that time, if you recall, we had a significant budget challenge in the state of Wisconsin. And as a result of that challenge, the tobacco funds were securitized. In other words, we were supposed to get $100 over 25 years. We decided we would take, you know, some smaller dollar amount all up front. Mm-hmm. That's called a securitization. Mm-hmm. Those dollars went to fill the budget hole. And granted, all of us benefited in some small way as a result of that budget hole being taken care of. But the dollars didn't go entirely toward anti-tobacco or tobacco cessation efforts. What we learned from the tobacco lawsuits is that when we have a challenge of this nature, and there's some similarities, we think as local units of government, we are better off advancing our own individual interests and advancing our own damages in our own lawsuits. We are happy to work with the state, and we wish them well as they pursue their what they believe is the proper answer, but we're going to pursue our individual cases with the pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Okay. And why do your advisors, the lawyers who are advising you, say Eau Claire should file separately, Wood should file separately, and why is it a bad thing that is not a class action?
I think
why is it a good thing, excuse me, that it's not a class action?
Yeah, I'm not sure it really lends itself to class action. I mean, the types of damages that we have incurred are very different across the country, given the different kinds of things that local jurisdictions engage in. Here in our state, counties engage in a significant amount of human service. But in some other parts of the country, in fact, the majority of the states, it's more of a state-provided function. So there's a whole host of reasons why class action doesn't quite fit. At the same time, having a great number of individual lawsuits, we think, is a more effective way to bring the pharmaceutical companies to the table so we might have a conversation. If we can't have a conversation, we will have a conversation within the judicial system.
And what the lawyers advising you, why have they singled out, what'd you say, four big pharma? Not some others?
These are the four major producers of opioids, and then a couple of individuals that we believe knowingly misrepresented the nature of opioids and misrepresented the addictive nature of opioids to the medical community. So four manufacturers and a couple of individuals.
You're veteran local government officials. There are other reasons why we have this epidemic other than the potential misrepresentations of big pharma. Why, as local officials, do you think this is such a horrible epidemic in Wisconsin? Colleen?
Do you have a couple hours?
No, but shorten it up, please.
You have to look at a number of places where I believe that there are really issues as far as what our healthcare systems deliver. First of all, we really don't have a real concise mental health system. And we don't have a concise, and then looking at this as part of a mental health issue as well, we really don't have a healthcare system that does a good job of addressing that. And if we don't have early intervention, we have issues. I think, you know, we have a great program in Eau Claire at the Prairie Ridge School, 3 and 4 year old school, a program of engagement. If a child comes to school and he's acting really different than he usually does, there's an intervention through an individual with a master's degree in early education, master's degree in social work as well. They call the parent. Ordinarily, that call would have come to human services. They go to the home. They did 1,300 home visits this last year. What does that mean? That means that basically the first time they go there, the commitment is that they will be seeing that family twice a month for 2 years. Now, if you can get interventions in family issue so that they don't feel boxed, you know, then a lot of these methamphetamine, opioid, heroin issues are diagnosed earlier. It is indeed a healthcare issue.
But that intervention is very expensive for taxpayers and local governments and entities.
No, I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
Because
you're investing in the future.
Not only that.
Thanks for the correction.
Yeah, but basically, you know, it's the risk is not to do anything.
Okay. So because invest on the front end because the costs are hideous. Okay, Lance, your thoughts on why we have this epidemic?
I think it's multifaceted, but I think the unique thing here is oftentimes, at least in our area, this started as legal use. And then whether that person becomes addicted or whether those pills remain on a shelf or whether they get distributed out into the community has created other problems. And then that morphs into heroin use and some of the other things that we see out there that were illegal use. Mm-hmm. But we have very few problems that start that way, you know, from a pharmaceutical manufacturer, from a doctor's office. And like I said, we're not picking on the prescribing physician because we think that they had information withheld from them. But at the end of the day, it's burgeoned into just a huge problem that we've seen no other like this that we really can't get our arms around. Colleen mentioned it earlier, the number of suicides in our county, way up. The number of overdoses we treat on a daily basis. I mean, we have Narcan, you know, in every squad car now, every EMT. I can only count the ones that perish. I don't even know how many we save. But all those people, there's a societal cost there, too, that translates to the families.
And the announcement yesterday is Narcan is going to be available on UW system campuses.
True.
So next steps in the process, Mark?
Yeah, next steps, lawsuits will continue to be filed at a certain point in time. I think the lawsuits will be some kind of a cutoff date. To prevent a whole host of Me Too suits after the fact. And then once those when that caseload is identified, then the judicial system will ask the various parties to respond to the allegations, and the court process will take its course. There might be an opportunity for negotiation, there may not be. The court cases may go 8-10 years and result in nothing. The court cases may go 5, 7, 8, 10, 12 years and result in something. It might result in communications or negotiations with the pharmaceutical companies that result in a settlement, might result in no settlement. So it's quite uncertain at these early stages, but I would expect that across the country we will see hundreds, multiple hundreds of lawsuits filed in the next 4, 5, 6 months.
Okay. We only have a few minutes left, so these cases have been consolidated at a federal court in Northern Ohio?
Correct, in the Northern Ohio federal jurisdiction.
So you're in that federal court, Lance and Colleen, and you're giving a statement as to why the pharmaceutical company should be found liable and pay your company damages. What's your opening statement, attorney? Maybe not Lance. Go.
Yeah, that'd be nice if they call me an attorney. Yeah, there's a direct causal effect here. And we can tie it to that. And it's a huge expense, and it's going to be an ongoing expense. And it's probably going to be somewhat of a generational expense as these children that have been affected through families grow through, you know, into adulthood. So at the end of the day, I guess when we look at any problem is who is responsible for it? How as a society are we going to pay for it? And I think usually you go back to the individual company or people who caused the problem. And that's where we are in this one, I think, is the simplest answer.
Your opening statement?
I would say that you are liable for that which you did not provide the accurate information for. Okay. And basically because of that, you are responsible for the pain that's been inflicted within our counties, to our families, to our programming, and to all of us as taxpayers.
And the final question to you, Mark. How are your attorneys advising that Big Pharma may legally defend this? String it out, or what arguments might they offer?
Well, I think Big Pharma's, they've got some very good arguments, and they're going to have some exceptional legal counsel making those arguments. I think they will state that all of the data was revealed, that the information was provided to the consumer, and it was a choice on the part of the consumer to consume their legal product. And that is it's a logical argument. We will counter, I suspect, with you did not provide sufficient data, and there is clearly data that you suppressed, which truly revealed the addictive nature of the legal product you are producing.
And your taxpayers are ready for a ride however long it takes, correct, Lance?
I think we are.
I think so.
And Mark, you're there?
I think there's no question about it. Counties all across the country have been damaged, and they will do what it takes to have this issue resolved.
Thank you. I want to thank Lance Plimmel, Chair of the Wood County Board of Supervisors, Colleen Bates, First Vice Chair of the Eau Claire County Board, and our Wisconsinized good friend Mark O'Connell, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.